I need a couple of volunteers first to hand out ballots. And while we're doing this, I will call the annual congregational meeting of 2007 to order. Mr. Secretary, have you determined that a quorum is present? Gary. Okay, a quorum is present. I will now read the minutes of the congregational meeting of last year. The annual congregational meeting for Grace Doctrine Church was held during the second session on Sunday, 12 February 2006. The chairman of the Board of Deacons, Dr. Weldon Shaw, was introduced by Pastor Griffin. Chairman Shaw called the meeting to order. Doesn't that sound like communist Chairman Shaw? I don't like that. The chairman asked the secretary if a quorum was present. The secretary responded in the affirmative. The chairman read the minutes from 13 February 2005 and entertained a motion to approve the minutes as read. The motion was made by Mr. Paul Davey and seconded by Mr. Joe Hunt. The motion was was voted on by the congregation and passed unanimously. The chairman presented the agenda for the meeting, where the approval of the minutes from the previous year was done, ratification of Pastor Griffin's nominations of the 2006 Board of Deacons, the 2005 annual financial report was presented, and an update on the new facilities. The chairman proceeded with the ratification of nominations. For the 2006 Board of Deacons, the ballots were distributed, the votes were cast, ballots collected and counted, and read by Jim Hunt. The chairman was informed that all nominations had been successfully ratified by the congregation. The chairman then introduced Dan Hunt for the presentation of the 2005 annual financial report. Mr. Hunt reported on the finances for Grace Doctrine Church and Joe Griffin Media Ministries. He also presented a review of the building fund, our tax-exempt status, and some scenarios surrounding probable cost and possible loan situations for the purchase of a new building. We then entertained, after the presentation, in the new facilities update, the chairman presented the proposal and drawings for the development of our own place as provided by Mr. Richard Hayes. The estimated cost for the proposal were approximately $825,000 for the building and $260,000 for the site development. A drawing and other additional details were presented. The chairman explained that he requested an interim solution of Mr. Hayes and reported this should be delivered by the board in the April 2006 timeframe. The chairman then entertained a motion to adjourn. It was made by Paul Davey and seconded by Tim Smith. The floor was then given to Pastor Griffin for announcements before closing. Pastor Griffin then thanked Mr. Mike Probasco for his services on the board. He also thanked Mr. Jim Hunt for his service on the board and for all his work as the chair of the new facilities committee. I think that's Joe Hunt. Pastor Griffin closed the meeting in prayer. We'll now entertain a motion from the floor with the correction of Joe for Jim Hunt that the minutes for 12 February 2006 annual congregation meeting be approved. Is there a motion? Tim, is there a second? Second. Thanks, Bob. Any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. At this point, the election of the Board of Deacons that were nominated by Pastor Griffin and approved by the current board will be ratified by the members of voting members of the church. Is everyone who is a 20-year-old member of the church, did everyone get a ballot? If not, raise your hand. Someone will get you one. Okay. I may be behind. If they're all done, you can start taking those up. I've got to tell one of Jomo's favorite jokes I told him. You knew it was coming, didn't you? Some of you may know who Justin Wilson is or was. He was a comedian with a hilarious Cajun accent who actually wasn't a Cajun. My uncle actually worked in the oil fields with him back in the late 40s. He was actually from New Jersey, but he could imitate Cajuns so well that he made a great living out of it. And then later he had a cooking show and tell these stories. And my apologies, I can't speak Cajun. But as he tells the story in his hilarious Cajun accent, he talks about this Mr. Thibodeau who tried to go squirrel hunting, and he spent all day and didn't get a one. And he's walking back to his home, and he sees little Boudreaux with a big gunny sack just full. And he says, "Boudreaux," he says, "what you doing with that sack?" He says, "what's in there?" He says, "squirrels." He said, "you shot them squirrels? Will you shoot them with a 22 or a shotgun?" He says, No, I kill him with a rock." He says, "I don't believe you." He said, "your family got a good name. You shouldn't be lying like that." He said, "No, I hit him with a rock." He said, "come see. Come show me." So they go out, and sure enough, little Louis Thibodeau grabs a rock. He spies a squirrel, and he fires a rock up and nails the squirrel and drops to the ground. Boudreaux says, "whew, I ain't never seen nothing like that in my life." He said, "not only did you look like a meteor hit that squirrel, you're a southpaw." He said, "what that mean, Mr. Boudreaux?" He says, "southpaw is left-handed." He said, "no, I'm not left-handed." He said, "well, what are you talking about? I saw you drill that squirrel throwing with your left hand." He said, "that's right, but I'm right-handed." He said, "well, why don't you use your right hand?" He said, "I tear him up too bad." Joe really liked that joke. They're still counting. You know how long it took me to find one I could present up here? What we're going to do next, after the count, is I'm going to ask Dan Hunt to come up and do a financial update. After that's done, Richard Hayes, who has graciously come and visited this weekend from Tennessee, has going to give us an update on our own places. As most of you probably know, he is our architect who has given his services gratis. We owe him a great deal of gratitude for that. And after that, we will open the floor for any questions and then ask if there's any new business. And then Pastor Griffin will then have some comments, and then I'll ask him after adjournment to close in prayer. So I need to know if I need to go sit down or if okay. We squeaked by again. Okay, without further ado, Danny, if you would like to come up and give the financial update.
Good morning. I've been asked by the Board of Deacons and our pastor to present to you today these things, to review the current financial position of Joe Griffin Media Ministry and also Grace Doctrine Church, and second, to review where we stand on the financing of our church property. You have some handouts. The first one is on Joe Griffin Media Ministry. We started the year in 2006 with $130,000 in Joe Griffin Media Ministries. We received $77,000 in revenues and earned $778 in interest and spent $79,000 in expenses. Most of that expenses for 2006 were the books that we paid for, which were the Who Loves You books and our basics books. We now end the year with $129,000, and to get you into a current position after the contributions and expenses for the month of January, we have $146,000 in Joe Griffin Media Ministries. Now, if you'll please turn to your second handout, which is on Grace Doctrine Church, I'll review for you both the general fund and the building fund. Let's do the general fund first. We began the year 2006 with $191,000, received in revenue $139,000, earned interest in that portion that goes to the general fund was approximately $5,500, with expenses of just at $125,000, leaving us at the end of the year with $211,000 in the general fund. With expenses and revenues in January, which all of you have received those statements by now, we currently have $207,000 in the general fund. Now, move your attention to the building fund. We started the year with $258,000, received in the year 2006 $490,000 in contributions, earned $12,000 in interest, and paid out in expenses related to the building fund of just a little over $25,000. We have in the building fund at the end of 2006 $735,000. Currently, with income and expenses in January, we now sit at $736,000. Now, before I discuss the financing of our church building, are there any questions that anyone has on the financial statements? Okay, I have had several meetings with our loan officers and laid out the goals regarding the financing of our church property. All of the applications and forms that are required have been completed. I've provided the banks with the investment reports, the bank statements, the balance sheets, and the profit and loss statements that they require. And as I mentioned, the process of this loan in our congregational meeting in last July, I would like to take a minute and review what that process is just to bring you up to date. What happens is that we will, and by the way, this process has already started, we will use our own funds from the building fund to start the construction of our own place. We have $736,000 in our building fund. Second, we will be given a construction loan. And this is how this works. The bank will advance us money as it's needed during phases of the construction. And then when our building is completed, I then revisit the bank and tie all this in into one loan, which will be a 3-year balloon note amortized over 20 years. And the current rate that I checked with him prior to this meeting today, on Wednesday, was 8% interest rate. And as you know how I will do this, I will keep you informed through my statements on a monthly basis where we stand with all this once our construction loan starts, so that you will be abreast of what our payments are and how much money we are borrowing as we go through before we wrap it up in a final loan. Richard now will come up and present to you the information that I think you will need for understanding the construction of the building and where we stand with that. Now, before I dismiss myself, is there any questions that anybody has? Okay, Richard.
Thank you, Danny, and I'd like to extend my appreciation to the Board of Deacons, Pastor Joe, for all the kind thoughts, privileges, everything that's been granted me for coming up here. When Joe called and said, you know, would you come up and speak to our congregational meeting, I said, what am I supposed to speak about? He said, aren't you doing a church for us? I said, oh, yeah, that. I said, but I'm trying to hide from the cold. I knew what I was doing. I didn't want to leave nice, warm little Knoxville and come up here into the frigid north. Being a Louisiana boy, I began shaking at about 55 degrees and become immobile at 40. So, I'm here to give you a status report on the fluff that we're going to surround Joe with, using his words. We started out with fluff. Fortunately, that two-edged sword that the Holy Spirit uses trimmed that down pretty quickly. We are in very good shape. We're in the phase of the project that I call the test of fire. The project is being refined now as gold, and we are going through the normal argumentative stage with various consulting engineers, the structural engineer, the mechanical engineer, the electrical engineer, the naysayer engineer, the people that tells you, you can't build this, and you don't want it to look like that. You'd rather have it look our way. No, your way's ugly. So, We're in that part of the process. We have come a long way since last May when I was here and spoke to you. We have gotten a lot done. A lot of things have happened, and we are a whole lot closer to the end of the journey. So I know the question on all of your minds is, are we there yet? Like the kids in the back seat. And we're not quite there yet, but we are a whole lot closer than we were. And we're getting closer every day. Monday is going to be a monumental day in moving forward. This will be my very first opportunity to meet face to face with the entire team that's working on the building. I plan on having a lot of intense conversation. There's going to be questions that I'm probably not prepared to answer just yet that I will take back to Knoxville, contemplate, perhaps even have to talk to Joe about it or Danny on some of these things. But with this behind us, we should begin to move very rapidly. And I'm going to say that probably within the next 3 weeks, we will have a complete set of all documents required to go before the city, to begin looking at permitting processes, to have a general contractor look at it, give us breakdowns on reality costs, not guesstimated costs, but costs that are pinned to the materials, the methods, the means that the contractor intends to use, his subcontractors. All of the players that are involved will have had an input by that point. And so it will all gel in one big magic red balloon that's got a dollar sign on it. So we'll see where we end up with that. At that point, I may have to take the two-edged sword away from the angel and use it myself to trim some of the nubs off the edges of the building. But we'll see. We're going to try to get the very best facility we can for Joe, for the congregation, for the Board of Deacons, without killing anybody, and which I've been tempted to do in many other projects in the past, and without causing a whole lot of financial pain to anyone. We're sticking to our guns. We gave a budget at the very beginning. We're holding to it. I'm not relinquishing any of that. And the way the building looks, I've brought a set of plans and some colored renderings of the front of the building. We were supposed to have a dog and pony show thing, and unfortunately it didn't work out quite that way. So anyone who would like to come up and take a look at the drawings where they are in the process, and anyone who would like to see these colored renderings of what the front of the building is going to look like, Joe Hinram may have an opinion about this. You're welcome. I'll kind of put them up here by the piano so that you can see them. If there are any questions at this time, I'll open it up to the floor. If anyone, don't ask me, are we there yet? That's all I ask. Yes, sir. Anticipated construction time is between 6 and 8 months, and I'm going to say 8 months.
Excuse me, just for the record, could you repeat the question so they'll have it? We'll have it on the they can hear.
To repeat the question, can I give an estimate of how much time it's going to take to actually build the building? From the time we break ground until the time you walk through the front door and I can present the keys to Joe, should be roughly between 6 and 8 months. I'm going with the 8 month side of it, because we're going to start in a spring that could give us some weather. When we start to do the groundwork, rain is not exactly your best friend. If we get a lot of rain in the spring, it may set us back 2 or 3 weeks. So I'm going to go with the 8 months. So I'm going to tell you that by February of next year, you'll be sitting in a place of your own. Yes, sir. Yes, the question is, can I address the seating capacity? There's a drawing on the very front of this presentation package that I'll put up here on the piano for y'all to look at that is seating layout based on the very chairs you're sitting in right now. That seating layout is a little more generous than normal. However, it's not nearly as generous as this is. Y'all are going to have to learn to love one another and sit a little closer to each other. And perhaps you can even look over each other's notes and copy some additional information down that you didn't get. We encourage cheating in this church. And not like school where they say, don't look at your neighbor's notes. We encourage you to look at your neighbor's notes. No, the seating capacity, as is shown on this set, is 120. The original design intent that I had started with was smaller chairs, slightly smaller, without writing tablet arms, ganged together in what is called church pew rows, and I had 189. We can still do that. The alternative here is that without spending a whole lot of money on new furniture, we go in with the chairs we have, we set them up to accommodate between 100 and 120 people. If the church catches on fire and grows like a weed, which we all pray that it will, then we sell the property and move somewhere else. No, we move these chairs into the social expansion area and into the prep school area. And then we go out and we purchase a new gangable set of chairs that takes up a little less room and has a lot less room from front to back. How many of you have ever been to Baraka Church? Okay. Baraka Church's seating is less than minimal, in my opinion. We're not going to get that tight. That's a 1950s model for seating. I don't know whether people have grown or whether the space has gotten smaller, but my knees hit the back of the seat in front of me, and I can hardly get around those hymnal holders and, you know, some of the other things. But we're not going to go that tight. But we will have a generous amount of aisle room. We will meet ADA requirements, all of them, not just some of them. I can't afford to lose my license over that, so we will meet that. We will also take into consideration fire safety, the movement of people in and out of the building, particularly in an emergency situation, which you always have to think of. So I hope that addressed your question. Anyone else? Okay. Feel free to come up and take a look at the drawings, and I hope you're pleased with what you see.
Thanks, Richard. We really do appreciate the work that Richard has done. He's too modest to tell you that because of some snags, he's had to rework a lot of his things because of different agencies that have to have things done one way or another. But as we discussed yesterday at a board member meeting, some of these changes, I think the Lord works in mysterious ways, have actually allowed us to have a better looking building at even a lesser cost in some of the construction than we thought. Cost of materials keeps going up. You can thank China for that mostly, because they're building, they're filling up the whole country with things. I talked to Shirley Ginsimer at Baraka, who is an executive vice president with RB Theme Junior Bible Ministries. Talked to her Friday. I wanted to let her know about Joe Hunt's passing. She gives her and Alan's condolences to the family. And I was giving her an update on the church, and she said there are residual New Orleans people who have not left Houston. And they, one of the things they have done is increase the crime rate in Houston a lot. And one of the things they noticed there, some of these people have gone in and stolen the copper out of people's air conditioners at night, stripped them out, and they sell them because copper's gone up, what, eightfold or something in the last year? We are going to have an air conditioner, though. Even if the New Orleans people won't get here. But I wanted to say one thing about the seats. The Board of Deacons is committed 100% into getting our own new place, but with a provision that growth is, although not inevitable, it's likely we're moving into a younger area of metropolitan St. Louis. We're going to be on a high volume road. There's this $800 million mega construction plan around the river, and we're going to grow. Depends on how much, according to Joe and what he teaches. So he's the thermostat. Starts getting full, you crank up the heat. But what the board doesn't want to do is, with God's grace and direction and the generosity of this congregation take the money entrusted to us, build a new place, and 2 weeks later we're too small. If we move in and we plan for a place that has 100 or 120 chairs, and a couple of months later people are having to stand up, we as a board have not fulfilled our duty. So there will be a plan to replace these chairs with chairs that we can get tighter and have approximately 180. If we outgrow past that, then we can expand back and probably put in, what, another 40, 50 chairs. If we expand past that, we put a for sale sign up. But the Lord's in this, and we want to keep Him in it. So far, doors have opened and no doors have slammed shut. So keep that in mind, but you're going to have to get used to not having your own individual space where you can bring a lot of your belongings. It's just the way it is. I'd rather sit closer to one of you than be in a place where we're already outgrown it after the first few months. It's just, we can't do that. That's all I have to say about the new place. Is there any other new business that someone would like to bring before the congregation? If there's not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Is there a motion, Paul? Is there a second? Timmy? Okay. The meeting is adjourned. At this point, though, I'd like Pastor Griffin to come up and give his comments and thoughts on our new place. And then I'd ask him at the end of that commentary period that he would close in prayer.
Well, there are some things I would like to say in addition to what Richard has said and Danny, and that is to thank these guys. I think we've been very fortunate and graced out, actually, to have so many wonderful professionals on our team. And I want to tell you how these people came to us. First of all, there's Danny. He's been with us for a good long while, and he's the money guy. And let's just say that Danny protects the money. And that's his job. It is his duty. And you are fortunate as a congregation that he is very persnickety about how it is managed and where it goes and for what reason and so on. If we in this building project had to go out and hire a money guy, and I don't know what you'd call him, let's just say a CPA of some kind, he would charge us by the hour, and we'd be paying out big money to this guy to manage the building fund and to dispense it to the proper places. As you know, Danny doesn't receive very much for being treasurer of the Board of Deacons. So he, in essence, is functioning pro bono. And then we've got Richard over here, who, once he learned that we were desirous of looking into building a church, called us on the phone and said that as a loyal Dorito, that he would like to offer his expertise, his 45 years of experience in architecture in the Knoxville area and elsewhere, in building buildings, tall buildings, wide buildings, church buildings, houses, edifices of various kinds. He brings with him, he even retired to do this. He said, in order to do this job properly, I'm going to quit my job and I'm just going to do this. And so his charge for this is nothing. See, he's charging nothing. So that's pro bono. And then we learned that all of these people that we're dealing with want contracts, and they want us to put our names on the line, and that we'll promise to do this, that, and the other thing. And we don't know if we're selling the farm or what. So we needed legal advice. And so Lou Basso steps forward and he said, well, I'll take care of this and I'll make sure that the church is protected, the board of deacons is protected, the property is protected, and all God's children are protected. And so he has gone into action and he has gotten with all of these folks that make you sign stuff. And he's made sure every jot and tittle has been in the right place. And guess what? He's doing this pro bono. Now, I'm asking you, since Lou charges $750 an hour, imagine how much money we're saving right there. And finally, we do need a project manager, and that's a fellow named Alan Blair. That's his job, and we have retained him. For some reason, I don't know what Alan's attitude is. It's something about he needed to make a living. And so he is charging us, and the ultimate charge after everything is done will be $60,000. It sounds like a lot of money, but it's not. If you divvy that out, what it's costing to get this professional advice from four major areas of expertise is $15,000 a guy over the course of a year. So in essence, the $60,000, we're saving a heck of a lot of money. And it's because of people who with a grace mental attitude have stepped forward and they've said, we're here to help and offer you our knowledge so that this project can move forward and do so in an appropriate manner. Now, there are circumstances that come up. I was told, and I won't keep you much longer, but we're talking about this. This is the time to get it out. I was told when we first started discussing this seriously several years ago, people like Quentin Swofford, who's built churches, people at Baraka Church, they went through a church building project, but also they know pastors who have gone out of Baraka and have built churches over the years. That the one thing that can destroy a church and break fellowship is to build a church. And for some reason, it seems to absolutely destroy the camaraderie of a congregation. And the major reasons for these things happens to be people inserting their opinions. They get very subjective about the color of the wall. And when you do a committee to paint a wall, it winds up gray. When you do a committee to choose the color of the carpet, it winds up some color nobody likes. And therefore, what you have to do is say professionals will do this. And you remove every decision away from the congregation. Some of you may have thought that was a totalitarian idea, but it was designed to keep this haggling from going on. Professionals make the decisions. If there's something we don't like, we go to them because we've paid them money. And when people volunteer within the church, I know how to do that. I'll do it for free. And then who are you going to go to when you don't like it? And therefore, we remove that from the table. And therefore, when it comes to getting it done, the onus is on the board of deacons. And when it's over with, if you don't like it, you can come scream at us and we will deserve it. But I promise you this, and I've been there the whole ride. We've had discussions. We've had arguments. We have swapped slobber, literally. We have argued. We have come together. We have done everything you can imagine as we've piecemeal worked our way through this. With the advice of these professionals, and we have come to the knowledge, the board has, that we don't know what we're doing. And therefore, it is imperative these professionals be on board so that when we come with a cockeyed idea, like we do to Richard on occasion, and he looks at us and he never says a word, he just laughs. Why would we question a guy that's been at this 45 years and we don't know what we're doing? So he puts us in our place and he tells us to relax and, you know, do the relaxed mental attitude thing. And he takes care of it. Lou says the same thing. He sits there and I see that grin he's got on his face right now. That's the way he looks at some of our meetings, like you guys simply are not getting it. And Daniel sits there in the back and he's the guy with the money. And no matter what we decide, if he doesn't turn it loose, it's not going to happen. So we have to do things, you know, to make him happy, like promise tea times and that kind of thing. But the thing I'm trying to get across to you is the Board of Deacons is responsible for this, but realizing we don't know anything about this. We have been honored by God. We have been provided by God professionals to do these things. And we're receiving advice all along the way. And we have to sign off on it, but we have great confidence in these four men who have stepped forward, who have areas of expertise that are imperative to going forward in a proper manner. There are hoops to jump through. We don't expect this to be problemless, but we are moving forward. The doors are opening, and Richard has prophesied that within a year from now, we will be in our own place, and we'll hold him to it. And we, if we go to him and we say we were not in February, he'll just laugh. Why don't we close with prayer? Heavenly Father, we are indeed grateful to you for this opportunity to gather as a church to discuss its affairs and its future. It is our prayer that the Holy Spirit would guide and direct us as we move through the process of constructing our own place, that as we do, that you would isolate the problems, that you would enable us to utilize the knowledge you've given us as believers in Christ, to apply these principles to these circumstances, and that we would have the good sense to comply with the good advice given by the professionals. You would encapsulate this project and take it to conclusion so that we might have our own place and therefore move forward in your perfect plan. And before we dismiss, Father, we lift to your attention the Hunt family. We all miss Joe Hunt, but they do desperately. And therefore, we ask that you comfort them during this time of sorrow, and that over time, that this sorrow will be replaced by the joyous expectation of the promised future reunion. And with all these things, we lift our prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.